Inconsistent.
They're the,
so,
they,
so
they,
why do you think that
they
that
attack
level
themselves
of
the
hate
most
developed within the black community?
I don't think it's that level of hate. I just think it's an out. What's the word I'm looking for? Like it's a reaction to their environment. You know, I think that
you
that
think it's just inward. You think it's in their nature because they're darker skinned.
No, no, no. I just think that the environment they're in
is that what you're
the
implying?
Situation that they're in. Has put them into position to attack
okay.
each other.
Okay, so systematically, the system they were put in.
No, I don't think the system put anybody in that. I think they did it themselves.
So you think they put themselves in those positions of slavery, like being here in America, and then.
Are you saying they should go back to Africa? Because I agree with you.
No. I'm saying that.
It sounds like that's what you're saying.
I think that there is. Almost like a, you know how you have like one-on-one therapy?
Yeah.
I think there has to be therapy almost like, you know, for both sides, white and black, and for different reasons. You know, I think, you know, because there's a, I don't know how I would put this. Almost like on a macro scale,
like
you know?
Individual.
Sorry. Yeah, like you know how we have it's weird, it's crazy, but we kind of do it right already with propaganda, right? With like our TV, our television programming, right? But the problem is, we're now facing a huge, you know. Reality where the Democrat Party, for example, kind of really overcame the plans of the Republican Party and are setting, you know, people of color further back. And then look, now we got Trump back in office and now we're able to move a little more forward. But then the Democrat Party is like, no, we're the ones helping you. You come back to us, and then they are like, oh, they said they're helping us. Oh, we got to vote for them. And then they, because they don't know who to vote for. They're lost. It's like everybody's lost people. You know, you got Puerto Ricans, blacks, you know, they don't know who to vote for. You know, they were all slaves for so long. They have no, you know what I mean? Like
speak
nowhere to
yourself.
Turn.
I was never a slave.
No, I'm talking about, so like, for example, the mentality, it's like a learned behaviors. You know, passed down learned behaviors, right? Like, so for ex-slaves, right, the way they were treating their kids to behave in society and things, because they themselves really had no comprehension of how to behave in society, right?
So that's why they act like this today, you're saying?
So it's like passed down behaviors, yeah. Like a
so you're saying
they
act out because they were never taught to be civilized?
Correct. So like, for example, you know how like, white people, we always be like, yo, you see how they just let their kid get away with that?
Yeah.
I would never talk to my mama like that because she would beat the living shit out of me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's slave learned behavior. That's ex-slave mannerism. That's you know what I'm saying? That's
beating the shit out of your kid is ex-slave behavior?
Yeah, for sure. 1,000%. The masters would never have done those things. They never treated their kids like dogs. They would treat them like they're the kids.
I grew up in a
violent environment where my family, you know, the grown-ups were all violent. You know, the pastors.
Yeah, but see, I don't see that as learned behavior. I see that as emotional immaturity.
Well, it's very immature because you got to understand, catching up to what the reality of society was amongst whites, right, is totally different than that lived of the slaves and their children, right? Because their children try, you know, they enter society and they try to be as, you know, those around them, you know, and try to be civil and, you know, but, you know, you got to understand their parents, right, who were the slave at the time, they never experienced civilization. You know, they only experienced the what was on the field or in the house or, you know, whatever work they were put to do, you know?
Yeah, but so at what point do we say, hey, it's been long enough. You should have figured this out by now.
You should have figured it out, right? And that's the problem. Every time there's like, you know, we see times in history where they are, you know, almost figuring it out. And what happens? You know, we look at the Tulsa bombings. We look at just many different scenarios throughout the U.S. that show how we were pretty much kept back, you know?
Yeah.
Like, from progression.
And then, do you think they could ever get to that point again?
So, that's the thing. I mean, we are kind of... we are moving in the right direction. But, right, we have, unfortunately, opposing parties, right? Two parties who oppose each other.
How long does it take, though, for people to be like, hey, let's do better for ourselves? How long, how many generations do you think that would take?
Right, but what is better? What is that to them, right? It's like now defining, you know, who you're, or rather, you know, like how you're gonna, you know.
Yeah, but like, I mean, we're in America. Better is clearly financially.
Right, so.
Yeah. That's what I mean, that would be my argument. In America, when we say better, we mean money.
We mean money, right?
Yeah, we mean how do we get ourselves out of this situation?
So it's crazy because look at P. Diddy, right? He was a billionaire, but look at where he's at. He had money, so money clearly isn't the answer, right?
Well, I mean, if you're gonna be a sexual deviant, that's.
I mean, right? That's... To him, that was normal. His father was, you know, friends with Frank Lucas and. You know, and all these mobsters and, you know, like, that's the mentality he was.
But why
down.
Didn't Diddy say, I'm not going to be like that? Why didn't Diddy say, I'm going to break this chain, I'm not doing this?
Who knows? Maybe he tried. You know, unfortunately, we have generational.
You tried.
Uh-huh.
How come you're not in jail?
For me personally, right, it's like I can speak only on my own, right? I can only speak for myself when it comes to why I overcame. But when I look at, let's say, the majority of the people in my family, right, who haven't overcame, right, I could only now go off pattern, right?
Uh-huh.
Patterns that I see. So, right, drugs, alcohol, blah, 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 you know, abuse, etc., right? But now, you know, looking at my situation, see, it's different because I can only speak for myself. Me, I did, you know, my own research and became who I wanted to be.
But why can't everybody else do that?
Well, because some people, they don't like to read, for number one, right? They're not taught the importance of education.
So who taught you?
Who taught me?
Who taught you the importance of education?
So for me, it was like, now we're going, like I said, going to my life, right? Going to, because I'm going to show you the difference between me and other people in this reality of color, right? So like, for example, me, my parents, I was the generation where my parents were never home, right? I was always outside, able to do and go wherever I pleased at whatever hours I wanted, right? And, you know, my other family members, right? They were with their kids, you know, they had two-parent home, right? But the problem is, they still, what happened? You know, you still have abusive situations that were going on with the mother and the father and the kids and still living, right? So they never almost like were able to break out of that mentality of the pattern that goes on in that family. You get what I mean? I, so me separating myself, I was able to see outside that box.
What I'm saying is this. This is the real, real only thing I'm trying to get at. Why is it that some people could get out and others don't?
Because some people are trapped in the box.
And not only that, it's some people want to get out. Some people just don't want to get out. They're happy there.
Some people want to get out and don't know how to get out. What out? It is what even is out, right? They don't even know what even is out.
But that's I know what's out.
So I'm saying, I know what out is.
Well, because look at what me and Jose all have in common. We all have in common, look.
Very tinge of homosexuality. A slight tinge.
We were all able to be out and about, right? We were all able to be out and about and see the world for what it is. Not just be stuck. Like, I was, I would say, when my mom and dad were together, right? I was a little kid, right? But when they separated, I was still what, like five? I was 5 years old when my family separated, right? So I got an older brother who's 8 years older than me, right? Who basically experienced life with my mom and my dad, right? And this goes, I'm gonna show you what I mean. This is the most relevant to the conversation, right? Because you got my mom and my dad who got to raise my brother and sister who was 6 and 8 years older than me, right? The way they turned out, you know, think about it. So I'm 5 years old, right? My older brother, he would have been 13 when my parents separated. My sister would have been, right? Like, yeah.
He's saying how old everybody is.
11.
Just get to it.
It's been a minute, right? But I'm saying,
hold
like,
on, we're writing this out. How old was?
I'm trying to give you like the timeline of what it was to be raised with parents versus me, who at 5 years old then became not being raised with parents and able to do what I could please and you know what I'm saying?
But I think most people in the quote unquote hood are outside all day.
What are you trying to convince him of?
No, I'm not trying to convince him anything. I'm asking him, why is it that some people get out and others don't? And my opinion is that these people are emotionally immature and can't make decisions properly. It has nothing to do with racism or this or that. I think that's
what you're saying is that their ignorance
I'm explaining rather the emotional immaturity and where it stems from. Why some people remain emotionally immature. And people like us, for example, who don't give a shit anymore, because now there's, like, for example, there's no joke somebody could say to me or you guys that is going to really make us want to freaking
punch him in the face.
Punch him in the face, kill, do drugs.
Like that reporter that got punched in the face.
Yeah. So you went from saying that my outfit was really cute to saying I'm an effing idiot. That's so mean.
But I think that your point of view is very obstructed, and I think that you just don't understand the magnitude of having a child.
Yeah, well, I'm not the one who admitted they would be okay with killing babies in foster care and killing children that have been abused.
That's not the point. What I'm saying.
That's really.
Right? Yo, every time I see them, I'm like, why would you? What happened was
crazy.
You ever seen the Dave Chappelle skit when he's talking about oil? When the reporter said, you know, are you in Iraq because oil? He's like, oil? Who said anything about oil? And he smacks the water and runs away.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what she did. She got caught in the corner. She punched her in the face and ran away. She didn't know what to do. She was emotionally immature. She couldn't think her way out of it.
I hear your argument. She punched
that lady's glasses into her face.
Yeah, she gave her stitches.
That's crazy.
That's the abortion conversation you're talking about?
Yeah. You seen that one?
We've all seen it. All right. Beautiful.
We're gonna see the next episode.
So, your argument is they're emotionally immature. Great. His argument is this is why they're emotionally immature. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, because of the systems that they were thrown into involuntarily, which we refer to now as systemic racism.
He refers to. Because I see white people in the hood.
Okay.
And I know I can't blame racism.
So over time, right? And this is what's crazy about that. What you're mentioning is white people in the hood. I'm a 90s kid.
In fact, the project young. Started with white people.
Right. I'm only in my 30s, right?
Black people so gentrified.
But what's crazy is I'm in my 30s, right? I'm in my 30s and I remember a time when there was absolutely not a single white person in the hood. You were either Puerto Rican or black.
Yeah.
And a few Mexicans here, maybe one or two Mexican families, few Dominicans, I remember, right?
And there's people two generations before you that can say, I was in the hood and I never saw a black person in the hood.
In the hood?
Yeah.
Which hood?
The same projects that you see like, full hood? Of black people.
We're talking about Gowanus.
We're talking about, I can talk about any projects. Projects started with white people. They didn't call them projects. So, they called them something else.
You're talking about back in the boomer days, yeah. Yeah. So if you go back to the boomer days,
and then
days,
little
right,
by little, black people moved in. They were like, I'm out of here. I can't, you know, these people don't know how to act.
Yeah.
Right? That's what happened. And it became, the white people, white people like, they don't know how to act. We got to go. Yeah. We can't be here. So my thing is, why don't they know how to act still? Three generations later, still we're in the same problem.
Right. Why so that's what I'm explaining. The generations, right? So that generation that moved into the projects, right, for the first time, that was during the pre-civil rights era, right? So that was the era that just came out of slavery. The, you know, what is it called? The they were under the
Jim Crow
laws.
Right? They were under the Jim Crow laws. So these people, you know, all they understand, right, is what their slave parents, their ex-slave parents, taught them, right?
And yeah, I know. I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying is this:
I'm just
what you're implying is
this.
That they learned from their parents and they taught that down, right? What I'm saying
so
is,
if we, follow
we
the
have the same situation,
really,
but we got out of it.
Well, that's what I'm trying to explain here. So if we analyze the timeline, right, we can break down the majority of colored people, right? But us, the very few, right, who managed to overcome these obstacles and understand society in a different way than our, you know, people who are still, you know, mentally, emotionally immature, right? It's different for us because we were able to see the world, and which allowed us to then study the world in a way that they cannot, they could not, because they're all they know is their world that they're in, right?
Why can't they?
Is basically like the houses that they're in, like the household. Like, yo, I know so many people who don't even know how to get a job, who don't have a resume. Who don't
that was
have
me.
A GED.
There was a point I had no idea how to make a resume.
Yeah, yeah.
And I figured it out.
Right, but we dug it out, right? We were analyzing the world. We were getting into our foot into places that these people, like my family, would not know how to get their feet into at all.
Yeah. You know? I mean, remember, we grew up at the time that it was a time where we had to walk into places. We're like, can I get a job, please? There was no internet, right? And then there was a transition period where that's all we did was internet. And if you were to walk into with a resume, people look at you like crazy. Oh, fill it up online.
Excuse me, sir. What are you doing?
Yeah, fill it out online. I'm like, what are you talking? What's online? What is that?
Yeah.
But we figured it out. We like, yo, we're going to commit ourselves. What's the difference between that and people that are like, nah, I'm going to sell drugs until I die? I could have did that.
So, yeah.
That's easy.
Aren't you doing that?
No, not me. Don't put that on me. I'm out of that.
I
think
from,
everybody here sold drugs at one point. In fact, some people still are freaking trying. Some people are still drug dealers here.
That's you. Not me. I'm trying to be like you.
I went from selling pounds to policies.
What I'm saying is, why don't people say, hey, enough is enough. I'm sick of seeing people die, get robbed. I'm sick of that. I want to get out of it.
Let me get in here.
Wait, let me just say one thing. Idiots. When I moved to Staten Island, there was a point where I had an option to move to freaking Stapleton Projects.
You did, right?
Yeah. And I thought...
So you could only speak for yourself. Do you have a family member who grew up almost in the same household but stood behind while you went forward and they're doing much lesser than you are?
No.
Yeah, it's called nah.
No, because I was like, what the hell are we doing here? Right? We talked about it. What the hell are we doing here? My sister was one that was going down the wrong path. Me and my aunt pulled her to the side and was like, yo, you got to get your shit together. Go to school. Get rid of this guy. He's a piece of crap. Da da da. You know what? She's a nurse now. She changed her whole life. She's making more money than me. But we took the opportunity to talk to her. Hey, you gotta get out of here.
I did it. You don't see this. Nobody in my family. Now I'm just
kidding. No, what I'm saying is that
I wanted to make sure I was the best.
Yeah, I'm drowning. I gotta push people out the way.
That was me.
Push their head down so I can get out. Yeah. To crabs in the barrel. But I was like, bro, we gotta do something. We're all dying over here. What are we doing?
Right, because so you see and understand then, it is in fact crabs in a barrel, right?
Yeah.
In societies of color, right? Because when we look at, you know, our current situations, right? It's like,
right,
once somebody finds their way out, it's like, oh, I gotta tell everybody. I gotta tell everybody about this.
You know, I wasn't even out. I was trying to get out too. We were all trying. I was trying to figure it out, but I was like, this isn't the way. What we're doing right now is not working.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. You see how much time it took for you as a person, right?
Yeah,
individually. Yeah,
it took a hell of a long time.
Now understand.
Took too long.
Right.
That's my option, right? My opinion. And it took forever.
For you to get out?
Yeah. Exactly. It took too long.
Yeah.
What I'm doing right now, I should have did 10 years ago.
You know what I'm saying?
But same what here. I did was, I was like, I'm not going to let my son go through this. I'm going to set him up right out of high school. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So now he got the head start I wish I would have got.
All right. So now that you guys have both spoken a lot, take a breath. God, there you go. So let's. I know I'm in a room full of Christians. So let's pretend caveman happened, right? Let's caveman. Pretend that no. we're.
Which one? Adam?
Yeah. Cain? Let's just say that.
Cain's wife.
Right.
Let's
do we want to go through the Canaanite lineage or the Seth lineage?
Let's pretend that they're cavemen, right?
All right.
Systemic ism has been going on forever. Since back then.
Yeah.
Think about that process. It wasn't a matter of who was what color from what race. It became those things that as we progress. But it's always been about I want over you. Me, my tribe, me, my family, me, my peoples, over you.
Yeah.
So that's been a thing forever and ever and ever. And then you've seen it. It could be very, like you were saying earlier, it could be that in the next 300 years, it's the blacks that are.
The blacks
with the hard the. It could be the blacks that are the capital ones that R. are the minorities. Or the minorities, you know, that become the white people, and the white people become the oppressed and are crying out systemic racism. It could be that. It might as well end up that way.
Well, so that's why I try to use the timeline, because once you use the timeline, it kind of cuts out political argument, right? Because political argument kind of pushes one. A people one way, you know. It's everything is said for.
Wait. We just agreed that what I had said, the caveman age, that's always been. That's all. You just agreed. Wouldn't you agree that that's always been the case? That there's always been
my people before your people.
My people, my tribe, my family since the beginning. Since the ooh.
That's how his people talked.
We didn't survive too long.
My people had a language.
We're coming back now.
That's why I asked, are you talking about the Seth lineage or the Canaanite lineage?
Yeah, he's a
Canaanite.
You see?
He's a clear Canaanite, bro.
He has the mark.
I was trying to make it very simplistic for you. You want to dive into a political or geographical or a cultural specific time period or place. I'm just saying that it's in our nature to always want to overcome or be better than one another.
So then why don't people do it?
Because I think that people don't do it because they're given the option to do it. The fact that they don't do it is because they truly don't want to.
Yeah. They don't want to. That's my thought. They don't want to.
And
but why not?
Can because I explain why?
It's on the table. It's on the table.
Why? The only thing that can answer why.
Before you go into the why, you have to understand that the drive isn't there. So we've seen this. We have billionaires that have it all and end up on a rope.
Okay, but now let me say, because so even from the beginning, when we use that argument, the problem is we're all inherently evil. We all inherently want to sin, right? We all inherently, you know, look at a woman with lust and a brother with greed, right? The problem is that. So every time somebody does good, right, you got a hater. You yeah. got a, you know what I'm saying? And that's the problem. The it's haters.
A, it's and people, it's like that. In the, I don't know if you ever went to an actual gym and you have like a gym rival.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. It's like, oh, you can lift that much? Oh, I got to lift more than him.
Yeah. It's so, that, so Jesus.
I
got
to do better than him. I want to try.
Exactly.
Harder.
But if yep. that's and, so, and, so and before Jesus, you. Before you add systemic racism,
no.
Before you add poverty, before you add education, before you add, it all boils down to it's the individual what they want from life.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? If you don't want it, you don't want it. People, right. Now let's throw in all those other things. Forget it. They might as well just hang up.
Yeah. But what right. I'm saying, I see people getting out all the time. Getting out the mud. Remember, I don't know if you remember we used to say that in church.
Getting out the money.
Getting out the mud.
Stuck in
remember
the
that,
mud.
Mike? Getting out the mud. Yeah. So you got to get out the mud. We've been talking about it forever.
Yeah, because we were quoting a psalm about being, you know, being that was talking about being stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
You so know, and immediately we saw ourselves because we felt stuck in the mud systematically, almost like there was no. It was just the situation we were born into, right?
Yep.
So that's really what we're talking about here is the situations we have no control over, right? Basically what our destiny is set, right? Our
yeah, destiny that, is set from I think birth. That's my, I mean, not to get political, but this is my thoughts on different ideologies. It's like you're focused on what you can't change versus what you can. It's if I can't change something, why am I dwelling on this? I can't change yeah. it. It's my past. It's what I'm stuck in. But I could do this. The I other, could figure out how to get out. I could take this test.
The other problem I have I with the whole job. To go specifically to the systemic racism or systemic whatever ideology, the problem I have with that is that I allow that to infest my brain and to limit myself. I'm allowing yes. these words to affect me. I'm allowing. It could be true that I walk into the store and that store owner looks at me like, he black.
He's going to rob. He's going to steal.
He's going to steal something.
So you know what you can do? Don't steal anything.
Or not care what they think.
That's another
and
one.
And keep okay. moving about my business. If I let that energy, I'm going to use energy for the
here we go. It goes
naturalist.
It's crystals.
Science.
He has crystals.
So, well, that's what I was explaining is that was the whole reason behind Christ was he separated
here
the people who are inherently filled with
hate. I was
trying to
do crystals.
Right? But understand. It's a very important time in history because it really separates the people with hate in their heart.
He left those in Africa. And what else?
Yeah. Because Jesus basically exposed us, right? He
left the ones full of hate in Africa. He brought the rest of them to Europe.
Yeah. So, right. But Jesus, his message was basically, you know, it's literally about people needing to turn away from that inherent hate, right? And that,
well, maybe not. Maybe hate drives you.
Well,
just like the
well,
guy
remember,
in the gym. You're like, I hate
right?
that.
He said,
he looks so good.
Well, remember, when he said that the two greatest commandments, when Jesus was asked about the two great, right? When Jesus was asked about the greatest commandment, he said, the first, there's actually two, right? He goes, the first one is love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, body, soul, and strength, right? Love the Lord your God, right? And then he said, the second one is like this. He said, it's love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? So he says, on these two commandments, rest the whole law, right? It puts the whole law to rest. And he says it almost on a Sabbath, you know, and that's why we see he says, rest on me, for I am the Sabbath, right? So... And then we see Paul talk about don't let anybody tell you about, you know, a certain day on the Sabbath because us resting in Christ, we rest on him every day. Every day is the Sabbath, right? As long as we live in love, we're resting in Christ. Jesus.
Well, for somebody who doesn't go to church, you sound like you're on the pulpit right now, buddy.
Well, I say that because it really does explain what happened historically, right? Historically, we see if we stem from Christ and move forward, the world is just holding. It's a constant war, a battle. The Bible says it's not a battle between flesh and blood, but of powers and principalities and authorities. Because, in fact, that's what it is.
All right, let me ask you a question. Let's say Jesus doesn't come.
And powers and principalities who either love you or they hate you.
Listen, Linda. Let's say Jesus doesn't come until 40,000 years from now.
Whoa. Yes. There's no way because Donald Trump's the Antichrist.
Never know.
Until the next president, and then he's the Antichrist.
Right. Pass exactly. The torch. We're no, but keep let's doing say it. Let's say Christ, because I know we're dealing with Christians here. I apologize to the audience that don't believe in that. Let's say 40,000 years from now, where do you think we are as a species? Is there still systemic racism?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's interplanetary instead of just countries.
Interplanetary?
Yeah, we're going to hate the people that grew up on Mars because they're taller, slimmer. Because they have less
gravity
over
there. But wait. Christ doesn't come back, right?
He's coming back.
He's coming back.
He's coming back. He's coming back. I don't want you to cry.
Yeah.
He's coming back.
No.
But
besides that.
He's coming back 40,000 years from now.
So far away. From now,
so
right?
So far. Mm-hmm. Based on what we've done in the last 150 years.
2,000 years. It's been the same thing going on.
No. Let's keep it simple. 150 years. 150 years.
America.
Not just America, but the globe. But specifically, yeah, let's do right. America.
America is 250 America years America. Old. So
just
even,
150.
It's too old for this conversation.
Right? Technology.
We're still here.
Everyone can vote.
Everyone
can vote.
Fortunately or unfortunately.
Kids are not put to work.
Not illegals anymore.
Not illegals. So in the short amount of time, the 150 years in American history, what would America look like if they're in the ideology, us as a species, look like in 40,000 years?
There's no way to tell. Because so much things can happen. There could be a nuclear war and change everything.
But okay, but assume we still survive.
We're gonna be linked with the AI, robotic bodies.
Like no, I said, I think we've been doing
that.
This thing.
I think that when
constant clashes until Christ returns.
I think that what happens
no matter
is
how long that takes.
I think that we have that, but I think we have much less of that.
Yeah, you gotta understand there's gonna be a constant human. Battle. There's that always gonna be a constant robots. Battle between love and hate.
There's gonna be a lot of that.
No,
it's love and hate.
The
it's literally what it boils down to.
Listen, I don't even know what's happening right now.
Right. What I
where are we right now?
What I believe is what I believe is going to happen. It would be more enlightenment. I think that we'll get to a point where, there'll still be that ingrained nature, that selfish, prideful,
that sinful,
whatever you want to label it. But I do think that we do get become way better at dealing with one another.
So if that was the case, right? Prior to Christ, we should have found that.
Prior to Christ.
In other words, we didn't need a Christ.
There was,
you know what I'm saying? If we can solve world hate.
I don't think there was ever a point.
There was never a point before
Christ.
What did you say?
No, that wasn't my argument. What I'm saying is that based on the last 150 years, just America, the way we've been acting to each other. When you compare that date till today, it's vastly different.
Vastly.
Immensely different. Forget about technology and all this other.
What do you find different?
Let's see. White people are not hanging black people up on trees?
As much.
That didn't happen 150 years ago.
No?
150 years ago.
It did happen.
It was 150 years ago was slavery, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they were hanging.
Slavery
up.
Was occurring. Yeah. They were working on the problem. Oh, I guess when they were getting caught for trying to run away.
Right.
That was
so
it. But
that's probably what happened. That's a good explanation of what happened.
Yeah. I think that's
the
that's
ones
what
that wanted change got killed.
Yeah.
And the ones that didn't want change didn't get they just reproduced and made these weak.
Right.
If he had there will still change.
Well
change still happens
by the white people.
Well, Jesus himself said, you know, just as they killed him, he goes, and, you know, they're going to come after us. He goes, it's not because... It's because they hated God first, you know? Anybody who's looking for love and change, and the world of hate doesn't like that, and they're going to want to kill, steal, and destroy.
So let me ask you a question. What would you tell a 16-year-old young man that mm-hmm. is Puerto Rican or black?
I'll tell him, yeah, I'll talk to you in 16 years. And then tell me, you know, what changed.
Would you preach about systemic and how he has, you know, all these obstacles in his life? Would you, you know, teach him about, you know, how society is against him?
I mean, I have to, you know. It's a conversation that every colored person has to have with their kid. You know, when they step outside and into the world, you know, cops see us differently. We see that still relevant, right? Because during the stop and frisk era, in our generation, you know, we heard Commissioner Ray Kelly on audio say to stop only the blacks and Hispanics and leave the whites and Asians alone.
And crime rate, you know, plummeted.
Crime rate plummeted because we lived in fear.
To the rest of the criminals.
Or was it? Criminals being arrested, or did a lot of people move away? And was it criminals, or was it, you know, crime going on, real crime, or a lot of police framing people of color and calling it crime?
I think it's a little bit of each, but I think mostly people that got,
you get what I'm saying? So it's easy to it's easier kind of to say that, right? Because how is it a 14% is committing 50% of the crime? Clearly they're letting white people go.
Actually,
clearly
less.
They're saying
it's less than that. A study came out that it said out of that 13%, only actually 6% are committing 50% of the crime.
Wow.
So half are just chilling. They're just living their lives, being regular old folk.
Old folk?
Right.
Like the rest of us. And only 6% are actually committing 50%. That's a crazy.
Yeah, to say, right? So half of them are committing the crimes, right? Supposedly.
Alleged.
Right? But
half of them are chilling. I thought half of them were chilling.
Half of them are chilling. They're just trying to be...
No, half of them are chilling. The other half committing crime. This is what we're talking about. The ones committing crime. Right?
Okay.
A lot of them, right? How many stories do we hear about people coming out of jail of color because they were exonerated? Because of... Clearly, it was a false claim.
You just proved my argument further and further. Yes, that used to happen. Imagine when the laws didn't exist 50 years ago.
And I would argue that it happens in white people too. It's not just black people that happens to.
That's what I'm saying.
White people get accused.
We're going in the right direction. We're going to be a more
peaceful. So white people do get accused. I'm not saying they don't get to go to jail and things like that. You know, yeah. There's a lot of white people in jail. They're 60% of our population. They're going to be accused. They're going to go to jail, right? But the problem is are they going to put all of their criminals in jail?
I hope so.
No, they're not. That's not what's happening right now.
You think they're going to let their criminals just walk around?
Historically, yeah, that's what we see. We don't see as many.
They'd be like, hey, this. That's Martin. He's a murderer. Just so, you know, avoid him.
Yeah.
They're going to arrest him. They're going to get him off the streets.
I mean, if that was the case, we would...
I would arrest Martin.
Right? So, like, this is what I'm saying. Like, look at our... Right? So we look at things from almost like a very small view because we're a small group of people. We're only 17% of the population in the Latino community, right?
I don't know about
the
that.
Latinos.
La!
Right? The Latino.
We're actually Latinos. Less because most of them are right? Mexican.
Bastards.
Exactly. So,
they're going to be 50%. The Mexicans.
Yeah.
They're doing it right.
And this is crazy, though.
They just walked
This out. Is crazy.
Thanks, buddy.
I mean, well, now with the deportations going on, who knows?
So, switching gears real quickly, anyone watching the... And this is the reason why I mentioned this is because, again, I stick to my belief that we're headed to a better place as society. Yes, there's still going to be killings. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Stop it. But if when I look at the last 150 years in America, I'm like, yeah, we're doing great.
On the right track.
Progress is being made.
We're on the right track.
Is it perfect? Can it be better? Sure.
Yeah, but don't hate the society because it's not perfect.
The only way it'll ever get better.
It's getting better.
Don't throw away the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I'm saying? It's taking time. It's getting there.
When it comes to the word better and getting better, the only way it'll get better, right? And we're seeing this relevant right now.
We're not
right?
sending it back to Africa, Mike. Don't say it.
No, they have
to stay here.
No, getting better in the sense like, look, we're going to be bringing the Bible back into schools, right? Amen. We're going to be...
Bring the Quran back
the way in. Trump is moving and talking about bringing...
Why can't we have the Quran back in school, Mike?
Because it goes against our systematic beliefs here in America.
I don't know
what
you're talking about.
From the founding
fathers. I don't know. Half of them weren't even Christians.
So, right? In God We Trust, right?
Uh-huh. That got added recently.
Hold on. I'm going to explain. History. In God We Trust is to hear in God We Trust, right? It goes against Sharia law. You understand? That's why we don't teach it here in America.
Wait, guess.
1957.
Ah,
damn, sorry.
Say.
Very simple.
It was after.
Our grandparents remember a time when that wasn't on the money.
Right? So in God We Trust goes against the Quran. Because they don't believe in Allah. They don't believe in God. They believe in Allah.
What are you talking about? Bro, it's the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
Do Christians and Muslim that speak is Muslim? Yeah. Muslim. What? Arabic. Christians that speak Arabic, do they call God Allah?
I'll tell you what. Ayatollah, people who are not young and ignorant in their perspective, right? The people who are their teachers and things, they prefer not to say God. They prefer to say Allah.
I'm talking about Christian churches.
I understand.
Yeah. That speak Arabic. Do they call God Allah? Biblically, they're reading the Bible. Do they say Allah?
So, biblically, we don't see Allah ever attributed to God until the 600s.
That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you today. If you go to an Arabic country that speaks Arabic,
and
you go to a Christian church and you sit down and you're listening, uh-huh. Are they going to say Allahu Akbar?
Yeshua Hu Akbar.
Don't. What was that?
You know how I know? Because I have a friend that's Egyptian. He goes every year to visit his family. He goes, the Christian churches say Allahu Akbar. They say it in the Christian church.
And it's interesting, right? Because we're not going to
blow
about
themselves
a different
up.
Language,
but
the Arabic
it's just language.
They're not that committed.
But this is why it's got to be the God. One, you know, once they go back in their history, in Arabic language history, they're going to see for themselves God of the Bible was never attributed with the word Allah.
So then anyways, it's semantics. It's just words. So they can't say Jesus?
No, they can't. That's against their... They can say Jesus. But they can't say he's God. They say he's a prophet.
Uh-oh, somebody's getting raptured right now.
All right, guys. I'm going to try to hop back on, though.
All right. I love you, baby. Give me a big kiss.
Love you.
Give me a kiss. Who's that back there? Who is that?
Peace.
All right, I'll come back on. I'll try to rejoin.
All right, bet.
Who's that woman?
That's his daughter. He's picking up from school. You saw he got real stiff? He got so stiff. Right? You notice that?
Does that happen to you?
Me? No.
It's like when
you know what it is?
When one world invites
that's what I was gonna say.
Yes.
He talks to his daughter. I would talk like this.